You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Standing by for touchdown. Touchdown signal detected. Landed mid-sequence initiated. Phoenix has landed. Welcome to the northern plains of Mars.
Yes. What did Confucius say? A journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. Well, at JPL, the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, a journey of 422 million miles ends with 7 minutes of terror as the spacecraft approaches Mars. It was also a giant sigh of relief. The Phoenix lander is alive and well on Mars. Project manager Peter Smith at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory says, now the fun begins.
This is our beginning. Without the launch, you have no mission. Without the landing, you have no mission. Now we have a mission.
The last time JPL and NASA made a successful, controlled, soft landing on Mars was back in the 1970s. There was a lot riding on this mission to the Mars polar region.
I'd never seen a more flawless landing. I mean, flawless. There wasn't any little glitch at any moment. We didn't even lose contact during the plasma phase.
Not even during the plasma phase.
They were so excited.
Oh, they were
having all
fun.
Had their matching blue shirts as they were sitting on the podium, and they were just emanating joy.
I want one of those shirts. With more about the plasma phase and every other phase of this scientifically important mission, we are joined by Miles O'Brien, CNN space correspondent. Miles, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Even the flux capacitor was working.
Oh, that's so great. Oh, sometimes they have to put that on auxiliary.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, it's interesting. They said everything worked flawlessly. These things are all or nothing deals. Either they all work flawlessly, or if one thing goes wrong, it all goes to Hades. So it's one or the other. There's no middle ground when you're landing on Mars.
I mean, to be in that control room, there's no higher stakes game of poker than counting down those 7 minutes.
Yeah, I've been trying to think of another profession where you invest so much time, energy, blood, sweat, and tears over so many years, and you literally go all in with your chips, put them all on the table, and it all comes down to that. And literally, if one pyrotechnic bolt doesn't fire as it is supposed to, it's all for naught. These guys could be riverboat gamblers.
$420 million. They were all in on this one. So what's the scientific significance of this mission?
Well, this is the first time that a spacecraft is in proximity to water on Mars. It's frozen water, but it was detected by one of the orbiting spacecraft that is spinning around Mars. We've got three of them up there now. And it detected the unmistakable signature with spectrometers and so forth of ice. And so landing there and scooping some of that stuff up and putting it in some of the ovens and some of the other devices they have on the deck of that Phoenix lander will give them an opportunity to see what's inside. And water, frozen water, is a big deep freeze. What did it possibly keep in there? Could there be some organic material in there, one of the essentials for life? And if they do find that, which Viking was unable to find in 1976, the last soft landings on Mars, if they do find that, that is one more step in solving this puzzle as to what happened to life on Mars. Was it there before? Is it there now, perhaps under the surface?
And Miles, the Phoenix lander's already sent back some pictures, which are absolutely fascinating because it looks so average. You just see rocks soil, as John said.
It's $420 million to get us a picture of a parking lot,
right,
is what it looks like.
Come on, you guys. Cool.
It is cool.
It is.
It is. It's not your father's Mars. It's not the Mars of the equatorial regions.
Miles, you said that last night on CNN. It's not your father's Mars. And my 9-year-old looked at me and said, what is he talking about? What do you mean it's not your father's Mars?
Didn't get the reference to the Oldsmobile ad. Huh? All right, well.
No, but it's not quite what Hollywood makes it out to be, right? There's not a whole lot of activity. It doesn't seem as if there's really much happening on Mars.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, think about going to the Northwest Territories or up in Nunavut or something where the tundra is. It would look a lot like that. They deliberately went to this place that is tundra. They knew it would be featureless like this. And a lot of people ask me, well, why didn't they send a rover? Well, take a look at that picture, and you know, you don't need to do any roving. You could drive all the way to the end of the horizon, and the terrain would be just the same. What they need is vertical mobility, which is what they have on this lander.
So, yeah, just very quickly, just describe the difference between rovers and landers for those of us who are not intimately knowledgeable about space travel.
In a word, wheels. The rovers are, Spirit and Opportunity, against all odds, 4 years later, are still moving around their regions closer to the equator. And they landed in places where there were all kinds of potentials for dried up lake beds or river beds, that sort of thing. And so the terrain is much different, hillier, rockier, that sort of thing. This has the sole purpose of going after ice under the surface. And so that's why they plopped the lander on there. It doesn't need to move. It could go as far as it would like, and it would be the same terrain, the same ice crystals that
and
they
it's
would
got,
dig into.
It's got a chemical laboratory in it to do some of the sampling that you're talking about. Now, they know it's water there quickly, Miles, right? I mean, there's no chance they're going to find out it's like a giant bunch of Windex or something, right? I mean, there's no chance of that.
Well, that would be kind of interesting, wouldn't it? No, the beauty of what's going on Mars right now is they have so many spacecraft there that they know where they're going really well. The Mars Odyssey spotted this water ice. You can take it to the bank. They're going to find it. It'll be interesting to see what's in that ice.
All right, Miles, you know about the fact that peanuts are a big superstition on this mission, right?
Yes, and I cannot trace the origins of that. Do you
but
know,
basically,
John?
The idea is that when they forgot to bring peanuts to the control room, the mission aborted in some bad way. They brought the
there
peanuts this time, and it worked, right?
The peanuts were there, and we have a mission.
More than peanuts.
Works.
He's more than peanuts. He's Miles O'Brien, CNN Space Science and Technology Correspondent. Miles, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Miles.
My pleasure.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.